Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Trey Wingo momentarily, but we have baseball news. Mike, would you like to reveal the news?
Sure. Elvis Andrus is going into the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame. So he'll be the fifth guy from the kind of what you'd consider maybe the first ever really successful Texas Rangers team.
Yeah.
You have Josh Hamilton, Michael Young, Ian Kinsler, Adrian Beltre, and now Elvis Andrus goes into the Hall of Fame for the Texas Rangers. I believe that will be celebrated in late June. For the Texas Rangers will be the game. I'm sure if you go to X or Twitter or whatever, it'll give you the exact date.
Andrus, by the way, is going to become the youngest individual ever selected to the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him and congratulations to us. Because right now we get to talk to Trey Wingo. Trey, how excited are you that we're in the same hotel and you get to be on our show?
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you guys. And as I do every time with you guys, shout out to all my people in the DFW area, Haji, Sessions, Bryce, BB's, HCAT, Bird, everybody. Glad everybody's doing well and good to be with you guys in person as well as over the air.
Used to shout out Luca, but can't do that anymore.
He lives on the seventh floor. No, that's a different Luca. By the way, are you guys over that?
No.
No. This guy, Nico, basically has hitched his entire career to being right here. And he, if he's right, great
he's
for him.
Yeah.
But, man, talk about it. Well, finally, Jerry Jones isn't the worst GM in Dallas.
Mm. We kept waiting. I kept waiting for, like, a Scooby-Doo-style reveal where they pulled it off.
And
it was, it was Jerry Jones all along.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that came out, I think it was yesterday, is the Referee Association said conspiracy theories were insulting and preposterous, I say, that the officials were in favor of the Chiefs. Did you think it was fascinating that they felt the need to address this conspiracy theory? And where do you fall on all of that?
Well, I think the whole thing is as dumb as a box of rocks. So I get it. And I wish the NFL official, what was the statement? What did they say?
It is insulting and preposterous.
With the caveat, but we realize we are terrible at our job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I think I didn't see that in the statement,
yeah,
but
see,
still.
But see, that's what was missing.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the problem with NFL refs. They're bad. Okay. They're bad in every game. You just see more Chiefs games.
That's true.
Let me go through the days of the week the Chiefs played this year. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
The only game they didn't play on was Tuesday because the NFL couldn't find a way to give you a Chiefs game on Tuesday. So when you say, I always see it in Chiefs games, you see more Chiefs games. They are in prime time. They are on this stuff. And I can really debunk this whole thing very simply, okay? It started in week two. Some people say it started in week one when Isaiah Likely was clearly out of bounds. That's not a bad call. He was out of bounds, okay? Week two, fourth and 16, incomplete, wait a minute, pass interference against the Bengals. First of all, they went through the receiver. It was blatant pass interference. But let's back it up. Let's rewind it. Why was it fourth and 16? Because on the previous play, it was fourth and six. And the Chiefs converted a first down to Travis Kelce on fourth and six until there was a holding call against the Chiefs. So if you are of the mind that the refs are trying to help the Chiefs win, why would the refs then call a hold on a fourth and six conversion,
you know,
thus
why?
Setting up a fourth and 16?
Because as fans, we only look at the things that screw us over, never the things
we're
that benefit us.
Shoot me in the head with a poisoned frog arrow dart.
I wanted to bring one of those.
It's just, if you get through that through TSA, we're all screwed. the Texans game. Let's go through the Texans game. I get it. One of those calls is going to be called every time. The back judge makes the call on roughing the passer. He stands behind the quarterback. Will Anderson leads with the crown of his helmet. The head goes back. That flag's coming out every time. Now, you can say we should review it. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I would love that. That is not in play right now. But that flag's getting called every time. The second one was terrible. Never should have been called. Hey, Houston, you want to win the game? Maybe don't give up eight sacks. Maybe you don't miss four kicks in a one score and a nine position. Oh, how about this? This is crazy. Maybe you don't give up a 65-yard kick return to start the game. Don't want to hear it.
See, that's Roger Staubach saying, look, Jackie Smith dropping the ball, not the biggest moment. We had other times we could have won that game.
Bills game. Okay, let's go through the two crazy ones in the Bills game. The interception that everyone swore was an interception. That was the dumbest challenge I've ever seen in my life, because what else happened on that play? There was a defensive holding call against the Bills. And it was clear and obvious. It was not an egregious one. It wasn't a bailout call. It was obvious. You saw it right there. No, by the way, there was also an egregious holding call later on against the Chiefs that Josh Allen actually pointed to the ref and said, there it is, and they called it. So even if they get the interception, the Chiefs will say, fine, we accept the penalty. We get 5 yards and a first down. And that calling an interception, I believe, actually helped the Bills, because I think they scored on the very next play, which allowed the Bills to go down the field before the end of the first half and throw the touchdown to Mac Hollins, which made it a 20-16 game. And then they took a point off the board and went for two. Maybe you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Okay? And then the fourth down spot. If you believe he got the first down, I'm good with it. But there was nothing on that replay that was clear and obvious about where that ball was on the fourth down spot. So even in that situation, the Bills got the ball back with 3.5 minutes to play, down by 3 points, and they couldn't get it done.
Here's what we say.
Yeah.
If it was a conspiracy theory, there's no way, because we're the home of the Dallas Cowboys, there's no way they'd want the Dallas Cowboys to go three decades without even sniffing an NFC championship game.
Factual information.
Like, they know that the ratings would go up 20-30% if the Cowboys played an NFC championship game.
Correct.
And they can't get there for three decades.
Longest active drought of not playing on Championship Sunday in the NFL. And that's egregious for anybody that lived through the 90s with what those Cowboys teams did.
Yeah. And it's the eighth longest in the history of the NFL now. So
for a team with 5 Lombardi trophies.
Go us.
But Jerry was great on Landman. He was.
Yes.
You're right.
He was.
He killed that scene.
In case anybody ever wondered, hey, are you ever not going to be the GM? I feel like that scene right there was like, hey, stop asking me that.
I think we know the answer to that at the age of 83.
Do you have any interaction with Schottenheimer that you can draw from?
Brian?
Yeah.
Listen, I have a great Brian Schottenheimer story.
Okay.
And I have no idea whether this is going to mean he's a great head coach or not, but I respected the hell out of Brian for this. When he was an assistant with the Jets, on his day off in the offseason one day, he came up to Bristol and sat in with us a whole day watching us put together NFL Live. He came to the production meeting where we talked about the things we were going to talk about during that day. He then spent the day with the PAs who cut all the clips and the video and the highlights for the show. And then he was in the studio with us as we did the show, because he said, I want to see how you guys cover us. I want to see what your process is to where you get with the things that you do. And I just thought that was awesome. Like that an NFL coach with everything that he's got going on and the things that he has to deal with. I mean, Bristol is in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest. Okay, I'm from Connecticut. I can say that. You know, to get from the Jets facility to Bristol is not easy. You have to go off Long Island, around and back up into the heart of Northwest Connecticut. It was 2+ hours, and 2+ hour drive there, 2+ hour drive back, just to watch us do an off-season show and how we processed the information. And I thought I respected the hell out of him for that.
Yeah, like we've said in our interactions, the guy, the man, is we like him.
Yeah,
we've got to figure out how the coach at some point.
Got to figure out the general manager.
Yeah.
Well, you saw Landman's never going to happen. Never going to happen. What's your feel for the game on Sunday? That was a big sigh for that question. Surely you knew that question was coming,
yes,
right?
The Eagles are the better team. I don't think there's any question about that. Yet somehow they're a 1.5-point underdog, because the Chiefs have won 17 straight one-possession games.
And that one guy.
The Chiefs have won 9 straight playoff games. A win on Sunday would tie them with the Patriots for the longest streak. They've already shattered the record for the most consecutive one-score games. That was the Patriots with their 12 or 13. They are in 17. Why would you bet against them? Last year in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs had one touchdown drive in the Super Bowl when they needed a touchdown in overtime to win the game.
Yep.
That was the only one. It was the only. The other touchdown was one play after a muff punt to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That was it. He's Mariano Rivera, guys. He will choke you out in the ninth inning. First 8 innings, does not matter. Give that guy a chance. Can I read you my favorite Mahomes stat of all time?
Please.
This is remarkable, okay?
Mike's going to love it. He loves the Chiefs.
That's why I'm wearing the hat.
There you go. Well, appreciate this, brother, because we'll never see this again.
I know.
I mean, people talk about the Patriots. Patriots dynasty was two separate dynasties.
Yes!
And then there was a 10-year drought
yes.
where they didn't win dip, okay?
That's been his argument for years.
Okay, they went to two, but the Vikings aren't a dynasty because they never won one. The Bills aren't a dynasty because they never won one, okay? They've been to five of the last six Super Bowls. That's never happened. They have a chance to be the first. They're the first team ever to have a chance to three-peat. No one else could get past this hurdle, not even the Cowboys with Barry Switzer in Candlestick Park in 94.
No.
So they've crossed that threshold already. But this is a stat from a guy named Neil Payne, who I follow and does great work. Since 2001, before this preseason, before this postseason, there have been 125 drives in the playoffs where a team was trailing by 7 points or fewer and got the ball with less than a minute to play. These are your standard do-or-die moments that win games and define quarterbacks. 40% of the time, the team that needed the points pulled it off. Either they got the field goal to win or the touchdown to win or the field goal or touchdown to tie the game and send into overtime. Some quarterbacks are really good at it.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is 5 of 11 in those situations, 46%. Drew Brees is 3 out of 6, 50%. Only one quarterback is perfect. Patrick Mahomes is 7 out of MF and 7.
Mm.
So you want to bet against him?
Nope.
I say, what are you smoking? Like, what? I want what's in that bowl, baby.
Yeah.
Because I don't get it. I don't get it. They're the better team. Philadelphia is the better team. They don't got Mahomes. They don't got Andy Reid. And they don't have Steve Spagnuolo. And that, quite frankly, is all you need.
Man, thank you so much, Trey, for jumping on with us. Always, always excellent.
Renegade Sports App. Got to talk about the Renegade Sports App. It's a way to play fantasy football like real football. Let's say your starting running back gets injured in the first quarter. Oh, well, I can't use that running back now. No! They put in another running back in a real game. You get to draft another player. Keeps you alive. Keeps the drive going. Keeps you in the game longer. It's fantasy football the way you play real football. It allows you to play in games and be in championships and get to the playoffs longer, and that's what we're all looking for.
And you can download the Renegade Fantasy app from the App Store and Google Play.
Correct.
Do it right now, or at least in the commercial break,
exactly
right?
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly.